Hi, welcome to First Baptist Church of Winthrop Harbor, Illinois. We are committed to sharing the hope of new life in Jesus Christ and growing in the grace of God. Our prayer for you is that the sermon will lead you in knowing God better than you did before. Enjoy, and God bless. If you profess Christ as your Lord and Savior in this room, will you just pray with me for a moment? God, as we gather here this morning to give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, I know that there's probably individuals in here that may not share this faith in Christ that many of us have in this room, but Lord, we know that you are so good that you reached us at a time when we too did not believe, that you were patient with us, allowing us by your grace to live to see the day when we would come to faith in Christ, to experience what it means for Jesus to be our Savior. We know that's all by your grace, Lord. God, as we just take a quick dive into your word this morning, to be reminded of the Christmas story through song and through the reading of your word, through the fellowship we experience together as brothers and sisters in Christ. As we say Merry Christmas countless times this weekend, God, I pray that you would remind us the significance of you that dwell in our hearts, that you give us life. So God, I pray that you be with us now as we just take a quick look at your word to be reminded of the importance of what Jesus meant to this world and what he still means to this world for now and forevermore. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Yeah, it's interesting with all the Christmas stuff going on. You know, if you are tracking a passage or a package still in the mail, you're probably thinking, I hope it comes by the end of today, maybe, right? Or by the end of tomorrow. If you're still shopping, you're tracking that package like crazy. And maybe it's like two towns over. Maybe it's in Chicago right now. And you're hoping it comes before the day of Christmas. Or not after, right? Not a single minute after Christmas, because that would mean that you just paid the extra money for the expedited shipping for nothing, right? And you just wasted a bunch of money. And just think about how much we're planning for the day after Christmas. How much time are you spending? I'm not talking about your New Year's plans or what you're going to do for your New Year's resolutions, but how much are you really planning your life for what happens after Christmas Day? Because a lot of times maybe we just look forward to that exhale when Christmas is over, when all the noise, and this is speaking from an introverted person, so maybe you're looking forward to the time when it's quiet in your house again, or if Mandy does a great job of doing all kinds of crafts for Christmas, and to me it looks like all clutter, right? But for our family, it's wonderful gifts for our family, all these beautiful gifts that she makes, and then we balance each other out because if I didn't have Mandy, our kids would be lucky if they had wrapped gifts, okay? Or even themed birthday parties. They wouldn't have any of those things if it was just me. But how much are we spending getting ready for the days after Christmas? Because everything's riding on that one day, right? Everything's riding on that day to see the right people, to buy the right gifts. You think about how much debt people are willing to go into just for a gift to be presented on Christmas Day. Not for someone's birthday, not for a January gift or a February or a March or an April gift, right? No, we pay a lot of money for a gift specifically for Christmas, and people are willing to go into a lot of debt for that Christmas Day gift. We're worried about getting the right time off work, getting or buying the right gifts, seeing the right people, pleasing the right people, right? Maybe you're worried about pleasing the right people around your holiday time and providing a certain kind of experience for your children. You know, the amount of pressure that parents are under when they get caught up in the Christmas craze is, can I give my kids the Christmas I want to give them? Can I give my spouse the kind of Christmas that I want to give them? And many people are going to be crushed this Christmas. Because the reality is, many people, there's still a lot of people out there where Christmas is not a joyous occasion. Because maybe Christmas has simply amplified what the rest of the year has been for them. If you felt poor all year, you're probably feeling at your poorest around Christmas. If you've been lonely all year, you're probably feeling your loneliest at Christmas. When you see everybody else gathering with their family and friends or loved ones. If it's been a rough year for you, it's probably going to be even rougher at Christmas. And we put all this weight on Christmas Day. How much time do we spend for the days after Christmas? We have so much riding on one day, we could lose sight of the rest of the year. What do parents teach their children about gift giving at Christmas time, right? Do children realize that there's 364 other days, right? Do parents realize that there's 364 other days that they get to bless their children and give them good things? And I'm not just talking about physical things and physical gifts, but all that peace that we want in the home, we want everybody to get along for one day. Maybe you've had the conversation around your table or with your loved one saying, can't we just get along for one day, right? Let it be Christmas Day. Can't we just have peace in this house for one day? The rest of the year, sure, we'll argue and fight, but let's just have peace in this house for one day. Kids, don't argue with us for one day, right? You hope that this one day is going to be extra special. But we could often forget there's 364 other days of the year that we're actually supposed to be providing that for our children or for our households. It's not just one day of peace. But what are we doing the rest of this 364 days to seek that peace that we want in our homes, to seek the peace that we want in our hearts, within our loved ones, within our closest relationships? Are we pursuing that with the same zeal that we pursue it for that one Christmas day when we have family in town visiting or you have friends in town, loved ones that you know you're not going to see after Christmas? The amount of energy that goes in that one day, what's it like for the other 364 days? It's not just stuff that we need. It's ultimately peace. You know, people are willing to buy these gifts. That'll take them years to pay off. But then another question is, are you willing to make similar sacrifices throughout the year? Right? We're willing to buy these gifts that we say, well, I'm going to be paying this off for the next 3 years, right? I hope they really like it. They better appreciate it because I'm going to be paying this off for a while, right? And you make sure they know that how much it costs because you really want them to appreciate it. But are you willing to make similar sacrifices in your home throughout the rest of the year when you pursue that kind of peace? It's not a financial sacrifice, right? Or are you willing to sacrifice your addictions to bring more peace and healing in your home? Are you willing to sacrifice your favorite hobby so that you have more quality time with your children or with your spouse? Are you willing to sacrifice the amount of time you spend looking at your phone or at a computer or the TV so you can actually have meals around the table and have quality conversations with the ones that you love? Are you willing to make similar sacrifices with your life, the same that you're willing to make with your pocketbook, for one day? I think that's really what comes down to when we're seeking this kind of a peace in our homes. You know, many Winthrop Harbor businesses, they would struggle if the households of this community got their act together. Why do I say that? There would be a lot less gambling at the slot machines or in every restaurant. There would be a lot less action at the dispensaries. There'll be a lot less action at the bars. Not that everyone that goes to bars gets wasted, but there'll be a lot less business if people didn't get wasted. If households got their act together the other 364 days of the year, think of what it would change in our community. The peace that people pursue for one day, if they took that same zeal for the rest of the year, this community would struggle in their businesses because guess what? We'd have to have more family establishments. Now, I'm not trying to put people out of business. I'm just saying a lot of their businesses here thrive because there's no peace in the home. If people didn't have a place where they felt like they needed to escape from the reality of the lack of peace they have in the home, think how wonderful that would be if they didn't have to go to places or do things or consume things in order to escape, but rather they could face things head on and experience a greater peace throughout the whole year. Are we thinking about the days after Christmas? Not just Christmas. Are we thinking about the days after Christmas? The Christmas often carries the burden of determining how we end our year, right? How you have your Christmas could make or break your whole year, right? If you had a horrible year this year, then you're hoping at least we could end the year with a great Christmas, right? At least we could put a Band-Aid over the whatever obnoxiousness or whatever horrid things that went on in your life for the rest of the year. We put all this pressure on Christmas because it conveniently comes at the end of the calendar year, right? It's very convenient how at our Gregorian calendar, we have this wonderful opportunity to focus on to say, let's at least end the year really well. And then when the new year starts, let's start the new year really well. And that we say, we use the phrase New Year's resolutions, right? So our calendar conveniently places Christmas at a time where we can try to end the year really well, and then it'll give us a boost to begin the next year really well. But this isn't the same calendar that God's people were given when they were given a new beginning, a new kind of peace that they had never had before when they're enslaved to Egypt for over 400 years. God gave them a new beginning for their calendar that they're supposed to focus on, that this is the new first month for you in your lives for all generations because of what I've done for you. What did God do for them? He freed them from slavery to Egypt. And this is found in the book called Exodus in the Bible. The book called Exodus, and the word Exodus, we might know that word, means to leave, to exit, right? To get out of there. And it's interesting because the book of Exodus is about the nation of Israel's exodus out of slavery to Egypt, being freed from slavery, and then they get to walk alongside with God in their midst for the rest of their days because now they have God guiding them in their lives. Now, when they escaped slavery to Egypt, it didn't mean that all their problems just went away. Okay, if you know the Bible at all, they still wandered the desert for 40 years. They still got punished for many of their sins. Many of them got punished for their sins. But what it meant for them was that they had God in their midst to guide every step of their way, where they didn't have that when they're enslaved to Egypt. Now, it's interesting because we have a book called Exodus. And what God does for us through Jesus is our own exodus. We have our own exodus from our own slavery to sin. And this isn't to say that we're as bad as we could possibly be, right? I think if we're honest with ourselves, everyone in this room knows that we can be worse, right? You know that you can be much worse when you get in an argument with somebody. I know I could be much worse when I get in an argument with somebody. We all know that we could be much more sinful than sometimes we are. But God gave us an exodus, not just from freedom of being enslaved to our sins, because when I talk about sins, it's not just that you're a horrible murderer or a liar, a thief. We are all those things to some extent. But God also gives us freedom from being enslaved to our selfish tendencies. Our selfish tendencies, being enslaved to our anger, being enslaved to our addictions, being enslaved to the things that we think are good for us, and then it turns out it's not that good for us. And so we're just going to look quickly at this passage here that's familiar to a lot of people in this room. It's John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." And first thing we have to recognize about what it meant for Jesus to be born, fully man, fully God, in a manger, grew up, lived a perfect life, died a death so that he could be the perfect atonement for our sins. And he rose again on the third day, which no other religious leader has ever done. He came to save the world, not to bring shame or guilt upon you, but he was born here and lived his life, died on the cross, rose again to save us. But the next time he returns, that will be for judgment. And we have, just like many people in this room, we can thank God by his grace that he preserved our lives. I can thank God that by his grace, he preserved me. So at 15 years old, I was still alive on this earth, and I was able to receive him by faith and know that if I were to die tonight, I would go to heaven and be forgiven of all my sins. So So Jesus came to save us. And the last few verses here just says, and this is the judgment, the light has come into the world. Now we have this picture of this light shining upon things. And people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. And everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. What does that mean? It means that if you appear before God's judgment without Christ being accredited to you, his righteousness being credited to you, it means that when you show up before God's judgment, all you're going to have to show for yourself is all the things that you have done, all the things that I have done. Now, that's just not including some of the things I think are good. Maybe I helped somebody here. Maybe I fed a homeless person here. But it also includes all the things that I've hidden in my heart. Now, maybe no one else saw on the outside, but God sees it. God sees it. And when I appear before God in his judgment, without Christ and his righteousness atoning for my sins, then I'm only showing God, look, God, what I have done. And that's what I'll be judged for. And that'll be a damning thing for me if I'm only judged by what I have done. Because I have not done a lot of good. Now, if you put your faith in Christ and you appear before God in his judgment, he's not going to see the things that you have done. He's going to see the things that God has done for you. He's going to see what Jesus has done for you, atoning for your sins, being a sacrifice that you could never be for yourself. And so when I appear before God's judgment throne on the day that I'm called before him, I'm not just showing off what I had done. I'm saying, God, look what Christ has done for me. And that's what I'll be judged by. And that's the only thing that'll save me. And so when this light comes and shines on us, a while ago, there's a show called What Not to Wear. Is anyone familiar with that show? It's an old show, got canceled a while ago. I benefited a lot from this show, What Not to Wear. I wish it was still long because I could still benefit from it. And when people were supposed to appear in this 360 mirror wearing what they would normally wear on a regular day. And these are fashion experts who would see their whole wardrobe, right? And in this show, they dump their whole wardrobe in a trash can and they can't keep anything they used to have. And so these people who are many times are very self-conscious. There's usually psychological reasons about why they dress the way they dress. It's not because they just hate fashion. It's a lot of times it comes from insecurity. Maybe their body doesn't look the way they wish it would look, or they don't look the way they would want to look, and that's why they dress the way they dress. And so when they appear before this 360 mirror, they are forced to look at themselves from all angles, and there's nothing to hide. And then that's when they start talking to these fashion experts about why they dress the way they dress. And that's a lot of times when the emotions come out, they start sharing, they start showing transparency about how insecure they feel, or maybe since a loved one passed away that they just stopped caring for themselves. There's a whole slew of reasons. But they're standing in front of this mirror completely exposed as to what they normally look like on a day-to-day basis. And they are forced to look at themselves more critically. You know, the fashion experts come in and they say, well, you know, you don't have to get in shape. You don't have to be in the best shape in the world. You don't have to start working out or anything. Let us just dress you the way that will make you look beautiful or handsome or professional. Let us dress you the way that you can look how you want to feel, you know. And it doesn't mean that they get dressed really like scandalously. They don't put everyone in like mini skirts or guys in tank tops, right? No, they dress them really well, where they can walk anywhere and look good. And when they stand in front of the mirror the second time, it's when they are now redressed in this new attire by these fashion experts to say, let us dress you. Let us do that for you. Let us help you in this area, and we're going to make you look great. And that's a little bit kind of like what Christ does for us. When we stand in front of this mirror, this 360 mirror, and now we're naked, and we have everything exposed in our hearts and everything that we've ever done, Christ comes in and says, let me clothe you. This is how you normally look on a regular day. Let me change that. Let me dress you. Let me give you clothing. And you're going to feel the way that you were intended to feel for the rest of your life. And that's what God does for us. When we have this peace, it's interesting that when we have peace, there's nothing that we're lacking. You know, if you have peace in your home, you're not thinking about the food that you don't have. You're not thinking about the TV you don't have. You're not thinking about the car that you don't have. When you're at peace, you're not thinking of the things that you don't have because you're at peace. You're not lacking anything in that moment. When we're at peace, that's the best thing that God could give us. In Luke 2:14, we saw this message. When the angels came down and said, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth with those whom God has pleased, right? So the peace is not between just you and me, because there's always going to be war. There's always going to be dissension and divisiveness between human beings. The peace that God offers is peace between us and him. That's the peace that he promises us. In terms of not wanting things when we're at peace, there's an article I read. This is back when I was in college, so it was like 20 years ago. I couldn't even find it. There's a study done on this small island, and they had not ever had television before. They never even saw what was outside of their island before. They'd never been off the island. And this island, eventually people traveled there, and they brought with them newspapers, magazines, television, and they began to actually settle there, outside cultures. And they began to settle in their first world culture on this little island that's never seen life outside that island. You know what they found when they did a study of people on that island was all of a sudden there were little girls struggling with eating disorders, anorexia, bulimia, where that had never even existed before they ever knew about television or life outside that island. Why? Because they were at peace. They were at peace with their life over there. They didn't know what they thought they were missing, right? But as soon as the first world culture got introduced to them, when they saw how other women look or what they perceive how women were supposed to look, then these little girls started experiencing eating disorders. They were perfectly at peace because they didn't know what they were missing. And they weren't missing anything, all right? But that's what peace does for us. When you're at peace, you're not going to miss those addictions. You're not going to miss your favorite hobby. Not that you can't do it anymore. You can still do it. But you're not going to miss it when you're at peace in your life. And with all this effort that we're putting into trying to have the best Christmas ever, are we considering the days after Christmas? Are we remembering that there's days after Christmas, that life goes on? Your debt doesn't go away after you buy all those gifts, right? The days go on after Christmas. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, my plea to you is consider that when God gives us peace, he doesn't just give us peace for eternity. He gives us a lot more than that, too. Or what's included in eternal peace is that he explains to us in his word why there's dissension in your marriage. He explains to us in his word why you might not have the relationship with your children that you would want to have. He explains in his word why your money and no matter how many raises you get will never be enough for you, or why they never feel enough for you. He explains in his word why your addictions are so crippling to you, but yet you can't let it go. So not only does God give us eternal peace, but he explains everything in his word, why you're feeling what you're feeling, and he gives us the solution. It's through Christ. And this is your opportunity. Every breath you take is your opportunity to turn to him and put your trust in him and recognize that you're never going to find the peace you're looking for until you come to Christ and allow him to do the work for you that you can't do on your own. Let's close in prayer. God, it's my prayer for anyone in this room that has yet to put their full trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior, the reason why Jesus was born, God, I pray that you would give them that new beginning right now, that they would come to faith, convict them of the emptiness that maybe they're finding in so many things in their lives that they keep grasping for, and it's like a vapor. It's like grabbing a cloud. They grip it as hard as they can, and it just slips right through their fingers. It's like it was never there. God, I pray that you would teach them to cling to Christ, that they could grab hold of Christ, and you're the one that doesn't let go of us. God, we thank you for new beginnings. We thank you for this exodus that we experience from being a slave to our sinful ways, to our selfish tendencies, to how we want to live out our marriages and our relationship with our families and how we want to spend all our money or where we want to work. God, free us from being enslaved to ourselves and teach us the glory of allowing you to guide us in each and every step. And we know that this invitation is available to each and every person who hears it, who understands it, and wants to receive it. We thank you, Lord, for your grace that you save all people regardless of their where they're from, their ethnicity, their age, what their backgrounds are, what they've done in the past. You unite all those things for anyone that puts their trust in you. To God, we thank you for this message of salvation. Glory to God in the highest, and peace among those whom you are pleased. So in Christ's name we pray. Amen.